Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Care about the trades. I want to be here. Is that the vibe right now in the clubhouse where everybody's thinking, let's keep this rolling? We have something inside of this clubhouse.
Yeah, definitely. Very exciting coming to the ballpark, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, we were a long way under 500, and you know, sometimes you don't even want to look at it and start to string some games together. And, you know, now it's a point where we're close to that 500 point, one game under. And really, you have to get to that to be relevant. So I think we all feel good about ourselves as a team. And like I say, excited today and excited for every game.
Kurt, Madison Bumgarner threw 94 pitches in 9 innings. How do you make the decision to take the ball out of his hands at that point? And because it's Bumgarner, is it a tougher decision to make? Was there any thought about trotting him out there for the 10th?
Well, very, very tough. And, you know, a lot of times we do let Bum make the call, whether, you know, when he's at that low 100 mark, whether to go back out there or not. But last night, I think Boach felt 9 innings about that. From Bum last night and had us in a tie game 1-1. And, you know, even though our bullpen guys have been and pushed quite a bit lately, we feel good about every one of those guys coming in the game. And I think it was definitely the right call. And it ended up, it took us 16 innings, but we ended up winning the game.
Yeah, because we were watching it on TV, obviously. It didn't look like Bumgarner wanted to take off that glove to shake Boach's hand. Looked like he wanted to keep it on that right hand because he had more work to do.
Yeah, he wasn't into shaking hands last night. He definitely wanted to go out there, and even if it was to start the 10th and see how we went out by out. But, you know, the closer that we have coming in, Schmitty, can be just as good and put up a lot of zeros for us. So at that point, felt good about Schmitty coming in and give us a chance to win that game.
Where are you guys right now as far as, you know, Melanson got the night off and Dyson, Boach wanted to stay away from them. Smith has struggled a little bit by comparison after being perfect in the first half. Where are you guys right now as far as who's available and who's not, and how much of this time of year is kind of managing, making sure everybody's fresh when you need these guys, though, at the same time to win every game you can?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we have such quality down there from top to bottom. And, you know, when guys are in 4 out of 5 days, you look at that on paper, and no matter how many pitches they make, you know, being in 4 out of 5 games, you just feel like guys need at least one day rest and possibly two. And, you know, with us winning games, we've been using those guys quite a bit, leaning on them, and they've all done a great job. But, you know, for the long haul, I think we really have to be smart and use them when they're rested the best we can.
Giants pitching coach Kurt Young here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the Dial Pad guest line. Kurt, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. You've been in the Bay Area for a long time. Obviously, you played for the A's for over 8 seasons. You've been a pitching coach here in the Bay Area for a long time. And earlier today, Steinmetz and JD and I were basically rehashing the top moments we've seen in the Bay Area when it comes to professional sporting events, or top 5 athletes ever here to put on a Bay Area uniform. Any moments come to mind for you when it comes to Bay Area sporting events?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a sports fan in general, and everything the Warriors have done has just been spectacular to watch and so exciting to watch. And, you know, baseball-wise, in Oakland, we had some years when, you know, when I came back from Boston, 12, 13, and 14, us pushing late to get in the playoffs and having a chance to to be in that position was, you know, was very, very special. We had a group of guys that didn't want our season to end at the, you know, at the end of the year, and we did push to the playoffs. The Tigers got us 2 years in a row, and you know, Verlander pitching shutouts and game five in Oakland is something you never forget. And you know, the wild card game still leaves a little niche in myself with Kansas City, us having a lead late in that game, and we didn't close that out. That's something that definitely sticks with me. But, you know, every year is different. Great group of guys basically in Oakland every single year. And, you know, here in San Francisco, what we're doing right now, very, very exciting, and hoping we can finish this.
Yeah, Tyler Beede on the mound tonight for you guys against Jacob deGrom of the New York Mets. Giants have won 13 of their last 15 and just 2.5 back in the second wild card spot in the National League. Kurt Young, this was a lot of fun. Best of luck tonight and best of luck in the future with this ball club.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Kurt Young, Giants pitching coach here on 95.7 The Game. We'll react to that, talk a little more Giants, and have some fun here on 95.7 The Game. Matt Steinmetz, JD, John Dickinson in for Daryl the Guru Johnson and Bonte Hill. But first, let's go to Elena with the latest on what's happening on 95.7 The Game. Good afternoon, Laney.
Good afternoon. I'm excited to have some fun, too. Here's what's happening on The Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Terrell Owens topped off NFL Insiders Week this morning with Joe Lo and Diz. He had high praise for Jimmy Garoppolo going into the season.
We got Jimmy G. He's going to come back stronger than ever. He's looking to really kind of rebuild and, you know, get back to those winning ways that he did before he got that injury. I'm looking for them to do some great things this year.
Check out the full interview on demand or stream on the go using the radio.com app. Giants came out on top after a 16-inning battle with the Mets last night. Madison Bumgarner went 9 innings, giving up only 5 hits and 6 strikeouts and 94 pitches. To talk about Bumgarner's performance and trade value, voice of Sunday Night Baseball, Matt Vasgersian joins the Dave and Bruce Show today at 4 o'clock. And if you were watching the game on TV last night, there's no way you missed the Giants fan heckling the heck out of the Mets while Damon used the power of Twitter for good, found him, and invited him in studio. Meet the heckler. His name is Alex, by the way, when he joins us live in studio today at 2:15. That should be some fun. Sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or a click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. I'm Elena Mazorkas on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go if I have to beg, please.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Let's talk about the Warriors and KD. Warriors weren't too proud to beg. Bob Myers said he's at peace. Bob Myers is at peace. Let me tell you something about peace. It's a lot easier to be at peace when you've won 3 championships in 5 years and you lose Kevin Durant.
Hell yeah!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm loving the tracks. James Pappas behind the glass. Lucas doing a great job producing the show.
Shade of pale. This is from The Big Chill. I can't remember. Why do you do this? People are going to...
Give it to him, Pappas.
Temptations all the way.
Come on, that's a slam dunk.
Of course it is. I'm telling you. Is there ways you, like, can you get your memory tested? You can find out if you're actually losing your memory, and then can you do things to improve it?
I'm the wrong guy to ask.
No, you're the right guy to ask. In fact, I'm not even going to the doctor. I'm going to JD.
So not a body text line would chime in on that.
No doubt.
I'm sure they'll know something about that.
Well, like they say, for example, when you get older, it's good to do crossword puzzles and maybe word and number games to kind of keep you sharp. So maybe there is something to it.
Big crossword puzzle guy?
I used to be, yeah.
Made you fall off?
That's a great question. That is a great question. You know, maybe just the life's... moves faster now than it did 15 years ago. Who's got time to do a crossword puzzle? Plus, I started doing the New York Times crossword puzzle. Forget it. Those are too harsh.
Those are brutal.
Did you know the New York Times crossword, they have, so Sunday crossword's the big one.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they have one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yep. Saturday. Did you know that they get harder over the course of the week?
I heard about that.
Yeah. Monday up to Sunday.
That's correct. Yep. Monday is considered the easiest, then it gets harder. Saturday's tough, and then that leads up to the one on Sunday.
I know a teacher when I was in middle school, Herbert Hoover Middle School, and we had the New York Times delivered to his classroom because of the crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
That's it. He just wanted to do the crossword puzzles. He's an old New York kid from Brooklyn, I think.
Whenever the New York Times comes at our house, first thing I go to is the magazine where the crossword puzzle is. And then it usually sits by my bed for a week, and then I pick it up and I look at it and I get about 7 clues, right? And then I'm stuck and my eyes start to get heavy and I usually shut it down. Where's my That's crossword funny. Puzzle?
Chilton Autobody text line 510, Guru's stressing you out.
Nah, Guru doesn't stress me out.
LOL.
With the math? His math at the Giants?
I need a mimosa.
Hey, let me tell you, Guru sitting pretty right. Let me tell you what I'm glad about. I'm glad he ain't here right now. I would not be hearing the end of it.
Dude, he texts me all weekend. B, I'm just saying, B, look at him in Milwaukee. B, I'm like, damn, Guru's kind of getting to me. He's got to get to me. Well, and then I flip the corner.
I don't want to root for the Giants to cool off, but it's, you know, there would be a silver lining if they did. Let's put it that way as it relates to the goo.
Hopefully Guru's having fun on vacation. He'll be back. I think he's in L.A. at a family reunion. We'll talk about Stuyvesant. I want to know where you're going for vacation. We'll spend 30 seconds on that later in the show. Any reaction to what Kurt Young had to say, especially about Madison Bumgarner, where he didn't want to come out of the game?
I think that was, you know, that was able to be seen on the television. The thing that I thought was kind of interesting was, and I guess this shouldn't be, is they'll sometimes leave it up to Bumgarner himself whether he wants to go out there or not. But clearly last night was not a game where they let it up to Bumgarner.
Yeah, and Bum actually joked about it after the game, how he can usually get his way with Bochy, which was pretty funny. And look, I thought there was a legitimate shot being at the game, being in the press box, 94 pitches after 9,
yep.
His spot was going to lead off the 10th, and it wound up being Stephen Vogt, I believe, that wound up batting. But it was all set up, and then Bumgarner said, you know, he was asked, are you mad, et cetera, and he goes, well, how many times do you get a chance to go pitch the 10th? Which was exactly how I looked at
it. Right,
because it doesn't happen. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about a Maddux. Right.
When's the last time that happened?
A Maddux?
No, or the 10 innings. Was Verlander the last? A few years ago, right? I can't recall who it was, but I feel like somebody, JD, pitched 10 innings.
It might have been Verlander. It was, when do you get a chance to do it? And there was a conversation about a Maddux, right? You know, complete game under 100 pitches.
Greg Maddux, yeah.
I wanted to see a Jack Morris. I wanted to see a go out for the 10th inning. Like,
and then
he
win
did
the game.
In the 91 series.
That was a great series.
Big time.
How about, I'll tell you what would have been unreal. How about this? He pitches the 10th. He mows him down.
And then he
leads
off.
And you don't pitch hit for him. Yeah. You say, look, you're done, but we'll let you hit many homers.
Bochy took some heat. I mean, not really from anybody, but there was some heat among the analytics crew for him not pinch hitting for him earlier in the game.
Oh, gotcha.
Was the 7th inning, I think. Right. The Giants had runners on.
Chilton Autobody text line from the 415. Cliff Lee did it against the Giants. That had to be what? Early, late 2000s? 2010. I remember Cliff Lee having a really good start down there at Oracle Park against the Giants. Don't recall what year that was. My memory's not as sharp as JD's, obviously.
It might have been 2010 or 12. Yeah. Well, Tenney was still with Texas, right?
In the left field bleachers last night, folks are like, why is Bumgarner coming out? Like, I didn't see the glove thing or what happened in the dugout, obviously being in the bleachers last night, but there were some folks there muttering, like, come on, Boach, throw him back out there because he was that electric. He had it buzzing last night at Oracle Park and almost felt like a Tim Lincecum start when he was in his prime.
Who was the last starting pitcher to pitch more than nine innings in a game? This is only 2007's the last. Aaron Harang did it.
Aaron Harang?
With the Reds in 2007. Wow. Clearly, this is an old, how about this, last pitcher to complete game of more than nine innings. Jeremy Bonderman, I remember him.
Jeremy Bonderman with the Tigers?
Yeah.
He was a high draft
Jack
pick.
Morris was the quintessential ball game where you did that.
That was a great World Series. Twins outlasting the Braves in 91. Game 7. Unbelievable series. I want to get back to something we talked about briefly earlier in the show, and that's the NBA MVP odds. They were released yesterday per Caesar's book in Las Vegas, and Giannis, who won the MVP last season, is the favorite at plus 300. Number two is Steph Curry at plus 500. Number three is James Harden, plus 700. Kawhi, number four, plus 800. And LeBron James rounds out the top five when it comes to MVP odds at plus 900. Should Steph Curry really have the second best MVP odds? Is that accurate? Is that too high, too low?
I think it's just right. I really do. Because I agree Antetokounmpo is the favorite. They, you know, Toronto's no longer in the East. Milwaukee had a great year. They're probably going to have another great year, or at least win a lot of games. MVP candidates emerge, not necessarily because of the way they are specifically playing at first, but how well the team's doing. So if the team's doing well or better than you thought, all of a sudden the player on that team, the best player on that team, will get more recognition and probably, you know, more attention. So now we go into the Warriors, who are a team that nobody really knows. 47's the Vegas number. Maybe they'll be 6, 7, 8. Maybe they're not. Maybe they can jump up. Bottom line is, if the Warriors win 50 or more games, Steph Curry will absolutely be in the MVP hunt. Will he win it with the Warriors winning 50 games? I'm assuming they win 50 and he's healthy.
Right.
He could 50 wins and he's healthy, might be able to get him the MVP if there's not another player who has an undeniable type of season. Like if the Bucks go 63-19 and Antetokounmpo averages close to a triple double.
I'm actually surprised.
Are you?
Yeah,
I think
really
it's too high.
Yeah, I would have thought he would have been 6th, 7th, 8th on the list.
Plus 1,200 or something.
I really,
on those odds.
Yeah. It is surprising to me. I mean, just kind of running through some of the teams. I mean, I would think Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis, I think even James Harden would still be on that list above Curry.
To me, there was no chance Curry or Durant was going to win it in the last 3 years.
Right.
So now I'm thinking, well, Kawhi and Paul George may have that same problem.
Lillard, I would probably even put up there.
Yeah,
Damian,
you know, Lillard. What? That's not a bad call.
Hey, Lillard.
That would be the long shot money.
Lillard plus 2,500
yeah,
to win MVP.
Yeah, that's
I like
actually,
that number.
That's juicy.
I do too.
What about
I
Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis at plus 1,000.
LeBron ain't going to let that happen.
And you know what? I'm sorry. I don't see him as an MVP, Anthony Davis.
But, by the way, he's talking about wanting to play the four again. Like, dude, you're a center.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason he wanted Cousins there
exactly.
badly, apparently.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm with you. And then
I'm not a big AD fan, by the way. I think he's got a good skill set, but
wanting to play the four, in today's day and age, when you're Anthony Davis with that body type and skill set, that's a loser mentality.
I'm out on him, man. That's JD when he was down in New Orleans and he was pulling all the shenanigans this past season. I said, who are you to do that?
The who? The her.
He's been out of the first round one time. Like, one
that
time.
Many?
One time.
No, I'm kidding. You know, and how's James Harden going to win the MVP this upcoming year with Westbrook? I mean, if he averages 30 and Westbrook averages 25, can you give it to Harden?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
And you got to kind of see how that looks.
I may go Joel Embiid, even though I'm a little scared about his, his health. He always seems to get nicked up during the season, and he could be out of shape here and there. But plus 1,200.
Here's my question to both you guys: Are the Rockets better right now than they were last year?
See,
by making that move?
I don't think so, JD. Me personally, I think they're the same. They're the same. I get it. Westbrook and Paul are different, right? Westbrook plays off his athleticism. He can get to the cup. But Chris Paul has a better jumper. I know he can't blow by anybody like he used to, but his jumper is better. And then you look at the system Houston plays. Westbrook shot under 30% from the three-point line. In that system, the Rockets want you to shoot threes, get to the cup.
Well, he can do that. But he can get to the cup end of the foul line.
But can he settle for those mid-range jumpers that Daryl Morey and all those analytic guys down there in Houston hate? They hate the mid-range jumper. So I think, personally, I just think they're the same. It doesn't do it for me.
I think they're worse.
Do you? I think they're better.
I think they're worse. And a big reason why is if anybody could figure it out between those two, it'd be D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this cloak of uncertainty around D'Antoni as far as his contract and entering the last year. And I just think things are going to get a little weird there. He wants another year, more money, multiple years. They're kind of jerking him around. The two stars want it to work. So I think that would steer me toward, okay, I think it could work. But a lot of it is D'Antoni's ability to figure it out. If they're coached by some joker, this thing gets weird, he gets fired.
J.B. Bickerstaff comes in.
They are a joke immediately.
What about this? What about this defensively? We talk about Steph Curry and D'Lo, right? D'Angelo Russell, defensively, it's going to be a challenge. Well, Harden, we know he's not known for his defense. And in Westbrook, you look at the way he plays defense. He gambles. He gets lost on screens. I think defensively, they're weaker. They're worse off defensively without Chris Paul and with Russell Westbrook in that backcourt.
Yeah, they might be. They might be. I still like that they've got some defensive players on their team. P.J. Tucker. I think Eric Gordon's solid defensively. A little undersized, but solid. Capella, obviously, is considered, is a rim protector. Here's the one thing I was thinking. It does seem like, Westbrook and Harden, it seems like they really want to play together. It's kind of interesting, and if they want to make it work, well, they have a better chance to make it work. But Chris Paul and Harden wanted to play together.
Run it back.
Harden is, Chris Paul is a point guard, much less of a scorer than Westbrook. And that didn't work out. So I wonder what's going to happen with Westbrook and Harden. It's going to be fun.
I think they're worse.
Where do they fall in the playoff standings in a Western Conference? Where are they at? Are they...
They're 5-6, 7.
Are they?
Because I like Denver.
Will
better,
they finish
though?
Ahead of the? I wonder if they'll. You think they'll finish ahead of the Warriors?
Right now, I think they're in a mix of. If the Warriors are healthy, I think the Warriors are going to finish ahead of them. But I think they're with the Warriors and the Spurs to me, kind of 5-6-7. We'll see how it plays out.
Denver's better, right? Denver's better to me.
Yeah, I think Denver, Portland, Utah.
The L.A. teams.
Lakers. Now that we start naming teams,
Clippers.
I might have a couple of those teams too high. But yeah, Lakers, Clippers, Portland, Denver, Utah. So it's maybe 6, 7, 8 for the Warriors, Rockets, and Spurs.
I could see that.
Jokic plus 1,600 for MVP votes. Nikolai Jokic in Denver. Let me drop something on that one. Plus 1,600. Especially if the Nuggets finish in the top three again in a loaded Western Conference, and the Nuggets have home court advantage through the first two rounds of the playoffs.
I tell you what, it shouldn't be this way, but sometimes one or two games can change your opinion of a guy. And I hate to say that, but that game where Cousins ate up Jokic last year, that meant something to me because Jokic was in the conversation as an MVP simply because Denver's the best team in the West most of the season.
Yep.
But I don't know. I thought he was exposed a little bit by Cousins. Cousins out-toughed him. You know what? Cousins, I don't want to say he intimidated him, but there was a toughness that I didn't see in Jokic that night that he's going to have to get, especially if he wants to be a champion.
Speaking of Cousins, JD, how's he going to fit with the Lakers? He looks slimmer. I saw a couple pictures of him down there at Staples Center. 1 year, $3.5 million. All the money he's lost over the last two seasons, man. That is incredible. But how does he fit with LeBron and AD? And what are Lakers going to do? I'm intrigued with the Lakers.
I think it's a smart move by him to drop the weight. I don't think he was able to really do it with the Warriors because he was rehabbing from the injury and then he re-injured himself. In today's day and age, I mean, I think he's still got enough of a power style to his game.
Right.
And players just, there aren't a lot of players that are really going to push him around anyway, so he could play at a lighter weight. So I think it's going to help him in terms of conditioning and running the floor and just feeling better on the court, honestly,
right.
Being able to get his three-point shot back. I mean, that was the biggest thing, Steiny. You noticed it immediately. I know he had that first game against the Clippers, but you noticed it immediately. It's like he just wasn't in a good enough shape to have his legs enough to knock down the three ball consistently. So I think being in a better shape is going to help him there. And if he gets the three ball back at a 35 to 40% clip, then you're talking about a guy that can really thrive in today's NBA.
Listen, when he played those 30 games for the Warriors, those are the ones I'm going to judge him off of. How was he? I thought he was okay. I don't think he was great. I don't think he was terrible. So I thought he was okay last year. He should be better next year.
I agree.
I mean, he should be better next year.
Totally agree.
And he's on a team now, which is similar to the Warriors. He doesn't necessarily have to score 20-25 a game. He can help you in other areas. He can rebound. He can pass.
Yep.
So I think he's going to have, assuming he stays healthy, he's going to have a year like, what, he's 16-9 or something with the Warriors. He'll be a little better than that for the Lakers. Question is, will it be a big part of them winning? It might be. Like the Warriors, they didn't need Cousins to reach their peak.
Right.
I think they're at a point where if Cousins is something, and I think the Warriors are in this category, but because of Klay Thompson's injury, it's a little different.
Right.
We look at duos, all these duos. The Lakers have a duo. The Clippers have a duo. The Rockets have a duo. All these different teams. The Portland has a duo, right? Denver with Murray and Jokic. All these teams have duos. Well, the Lakers, if Cousins is something, the Lakers then have a trio. The Lakers have LeBron and Davis and Cousins. And I know two of them are big, so that maybe changes it. But I think they're right. One of the few teams that could have a trio. And I think the Warriors, I throw D'Angelo Russell out of it.
Okay.
With Klay Thompson and Curry and Draymond, if they're all healthy, they could still have a trio, which might be able to, with some depth, D'Angelo Russell being a part of the depth,
right.
Outlast some of the duos. So there's still a window there, I think, when we start to look at, well, what's really going to separate some of these teams that all seem pretty even.
Speaking of Draymond Green, what the hell is his expectations in a contract year? Forget the MVP odds for Draymond. It's plus 10,000. Right, Draymond's not winning an MVP in the NBA. I put my bottom dollar on that, but
it goes seriously. It goes down that low.
It goes down that low, man. D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell has the same odds as Draymond Green plus 10,000.
I always like to think, well, what would it take for Draymond Green to win the MVP? Unfortunately, it would take an injury to Curry,
yep,
and then it would take a magical season of 56 wins with Draymond averaging almost a triple double.
Yeah, he averages a triple double and shoots close to 40% from three.
What would that triple double? Would it have to be 20 points? Because I can't see.
I don't think it would be that high. But if
18.
If he were somehow to go 15-10-10,
yeah, 15-10-10, defensive player of the year level, and he knocks down, let's say, a 37% three.
Yeah,
and they win 50 games.
Yeah,
Draymond Green's hoisted it.
They might need to win 55 in that case, but
wow, that would be
who's throw me some other bad odds.
DeMar DeRozan plus 8,000.
I wouldn't touch that.
Ben Simmons plus 10,000.
That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one.
What about Blake Griffin plus 8,000?
No chance. They'll be good enough.
By the way, did you see him on Fallon?
We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, we are?
Talk about that in a second.
Are we finally use that?
Talk about that in a second.
Nice. Did you see that, JD?
I'm going to put this rat on the table in tribute to. I'd rather talk about that than the heckler.
Oh, we're not talking heckler.
No doubt.
I forgot all about that. I was at the game. Whatever.
The heckler. Get out of here, then.
What about this? This is a dark horse pick. This is a dark horse pick for MVP. Donovan Mitchell plus 3,300. The Utah Jazz. The Jazz are sitting there at number two in the West.
And I actually think Conley helps him.
Yeah, no doubt.
Conley helps him.
No doubt. No doubt Conley helps.
His MVP chances.
Yes. Donovan Mitchell's
MVP chances.
Plus 3,300. Donovan Mitchell takes that
$100 to win 3,300 or 330?
$100 wins you $3,300.
That's not a bad bet at all. That is not a bad bet.
I still think if there was a guy if I was going to play any of these guys, it'd be Lillard.
And what's he at? 10 to 1?
Plus 25.
25 to 1?
Yeah, 25 to 1.
100 bucks gets you 2,500?
Just good bet. Just turned 29, I believe.
Hell, I don't.
I always say this about it. I still think there's that little.
He seemed like he was almost there last year.
There's this little Curry-ish explosion type of a year that he might have in the bag. That one year where he's just, better than everybody.
Yeah.
We're talking about Draymond Green. You know, if he were to win MVP, he had to drop a triple-double. And as you mentioned,
it would also qualify him for the Supermax, I got to believe.
Yeah, that's dangerous. What type of Draymond will we see in a contract year? And that's my biggest question. I know Klay's going to come back, and that's a big question mark. Where is he going to be at when he returns from the torn left ACL? But Draymond Green in a contract year, and especially if the Warriors get off to a slow start. Like, what if they get off to a slow start? Something he's not used to with this organization. What's going to happen with Draymond Green? That's my big question. Draymond Green in a contract year.
Let's put the contract year to the side for one sec. The one thing I do worry that because Klay's not there, because Durant's not there, he's just not going to have the impact that he's always had. Whether it's he's going to get fewer assists because he's playing with fewer good offensive players.
Right.
I don't like the idea of Draymond Green trying to score any more than he already does. He may have to do a little bit of that.
Right.
I think there's a chance that both he and Steph have good years, but less efficient years than in the past. That to me seems like the most logical thing to happen. I mean, I don't know Steph's numbers offhand. Let's say last year he shot 46 or 47 from the field and 40 from 3-point range or 41. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if this is Steph Curry's, if he shoots under 40% from 3-point range this year. Wouldn't be the most shocking thing I'd see.
I think Draymond's going to be terrific.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to come back. He's going to come in shape. I think athletically he's going to turn back the clock a little bit. I think he's going to know that he's going to have to add a dimension to his game just to have this team compete to get into the playoffs, and if he can bring it and help carry him to the point where Klay can come along for the ride, that maybe they can even still do something special next year, although I have kind of written that off as far as championship aspirations goes. So and again, the one thing that I keep saying, and I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and he's got a three-point shot.
Well, you know what else? I think that's an interesting point, because if – remember when Draymond said, I'm going for the Defensive Player of the Year award?
Right.
And I thought, you know, there's a part of that that's a little bit selfish, because for the most part, Defensive Player of the Year awards go to great individual defenders, which Draymond is. But what makes Draymond ridiculously special is he's also maybe the best team defender in the league. So if he's concentrating on winning the Defensive Player of the Year, maybe he doesn't help defend as well as he does in the past. So I don't like that. But what I'm saying is he and Steph Curry will have an opportunity. Steph Curry's going to be able to play like he did when he won an MVP.
Right.
He didn't really play like he played when he won an MVP the last 3 years. Draymond Green, if he wants to expand his game, well, this is the perfect time to do it. Because you don't have Durant and you don't have Klay. So every three-point shot that Draymond used to take where you cringed because he's playing with Durant, Curry, and Klay, well, now he's going to take a three-pointer and there's only Curry out there. So what I'm getting at is it's not the worst year in the world for Draymond to get a little bit selfish and try to expand his own game. And not necessarily I'm going for numbers, but this is the year that he can do it. and it works with where they are as a franchise.
Real quick, two rookies have won MVP in NBA history. Wilt Chamberlain in 1960. You guys named the other one?
I actually know the other one.
Wes Unseld, 1969. Yeah. So I bring that up because Zion Williamson, plus 5,000.
No chance. I would agree. No chance.
No shot.
I think he's going to be, I don't want to say exposed, but, I mean, he can't shoot. And that catches up with you quickly in the NBA. Now, like, Marvin Bagley's not a great shooter either, but he's got gifts. Look, Zion Williams is going to score, and he's going to rebound.
He's got more skill than Zion.
Does he?
I think so.
Bagley?
Well, that's,
yeah.
I like Zion.
I mean, look, Zion's going to get numbers by accident. I don't think there's any doubt
about
that.
Scoring ability.
Yeah, you're right.
If you give him the ball and you say, go get me a bucket, can Zion do that? You know, will he be able to do that? I know he needs to improve his jump shot, but that's what I look at with Zion.
Like, there's certain guys that just, they're going to get their numbers.
Like, what's Zion going to average?
He'll average 16 and 10.
I could see a double-double.
Something like that. Maybe 18 and 10.
Yeah.
Because you can score in the NBA. There's a lot of time you have to score in the NBA. I mean, he's going to be playing more probably than he's ever played in college. There's going to be twice as many possessions. That's the one thing that's really a gift that some GMs have. There are few players that it's easier for them in the NBA than it was in college.
Right.
Most players aren't like that. But you know what? I think the Warriors are hoping Poole is like that a little bit.
You heard Eric Paschal, Jay Wright from Villanova's coach in college, basically said that about Eric Paschal. Said, I believe he's going to be better in an NBA than he ever was at Villanova. The NBA game is suited for Eric Paschal.
Well, I need to see him athletically, how gifted he is athletically, because he doesn't sound like he's got a ton of athleticism. Not that means he won't be, but athleticism is usually an ingredient to be a star. Guys without a lot of athleticism tend to be more of a solid role player type. Although, I don't know. Would you say Steph Curry's athletic?
I would say he's athletic. Not the most athletic, but, I mean.
Well, I
think he's also made himself a lot better athletically.
Well, that's when we think of athletic, what do we think of? Running and jumping. We think of jumping mostly. How high can a guy jump?
I don't. When I look at Curry, I don't see a ton of, boy, he was born super athletic, but I think he's worked his butt off to maximize everything he has.
Like is hand-eye coordination athleticism?
Right.
I don't know. If it is, he's got it.
Correct.
Yep.
But I kind of count that as athleticism, those kind of things.
And that would bump my number up.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, let's play some sound before we get out of here. Man, we're up against it. It moves fast here. Aaron Boone, of course, we'll play that in a second, but let's start with Blake Griffin on the Jimmy Fallon Show. Let's just see how stupid post-game pressers are. Here's Blake Griffin on the Jimmy Fallon Show.
After the game, you have to do media, and you have to sit at a press conference and answer questions. And I feel like people always think athletes are, like, really stupid, and it's not that we're stupid. It's just that we've just exercised for 2 hours. And there's not really, like, enough oxygen in our brains to actually be able to.
Tricky question.
Yeah. I mean, can I show you?
Sure.
All right, stand up for me.
Okay.
You need just, like, a little bit of space. Do you want to come here?
Sure.
All right. So what I want you to do.
Okay.
Run in place, jumping jacks, whatever you want.
Okay.
For like 15 seconds. And then, as soon as you're done, I'm just going to ask you some questions.
I see where this
is
going.
And while you do it, I'm going to commentate on how you're doing it.
Oh, my God. This is a...
All right. Starting off really slow. All right. Quick feet, by the way. And stop. All right, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel, and tell me how you're feeling about how you feel.
All
right. And one more time. How did you feel when you first started out there?
I remember.
See how stupid that sounds? It's not our fault.
Fair point.
I've always liked Blake Griffin off the court. I think he's funny. I think he's got a great sense of humor.
You were talking about Tiger earlier, how you didn't like him. Didn't he hit rock bottom? And then you started liking him. Is Blake Griffin one of those guys where he's with Lob City, you don't like him?
Maybe for Warriors fans. Yeah. I've always kind of liked him.
He goes to Detroit, but he's playing his ass off like he did last year in the playoffs, even though they got swept in Milwaukee. Like, I kind of like Blake Griffin now. I kind of like him on the court.
I don't dislike him at all. Which is saying, can we? Do we have time for this Aaron Boone?
Yeah, we absolutely
what,
do.
This is terrific.
Best sound of the weekend. Best sound of the week, right here.
We need
Aaron
to set
Boone.
It up.
No. My guys are bleeping savages in the batter's box.
That was tough to hear, though.
Yeah. Game one of the doubleheader yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays at Yankee Stadium. I loved when Aaron Boone just clapped in the umpire's face and said, get this, put it together. It was great.
You need to be better.
It was a legitimate pep talk. It was the way I took it.
Well,
he had
already been ejected.
He was upset, but it was like, look, this guy's good. Our guys are savages. Our pitcher's good. Get it together. You're off to a terrible start.
Right.
You're better than this. Get it together, dude.
Do we need more of this in a game? Like, it brought me back to Lou Piniella, and I love Lou. I need more of this in a game.
Well,
he was trying to coach the guy up.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, when I first saw it, I didn't realize Boone had already been ejected.
Yeah.
So my first thought was, what an example of umpiring restraint. Unbelievable. But then I found out that he'd already been, run. And I thought, well, still pretty good.
Right.
Still pretty good restraint. But no, I do think you're right. Like, it wasn't a total D move by him.
The other great part is just when you watch the video, and I know you were only playing the audio, but when you watch, it's Brett Gardner.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like Brett Gardner just in the background. Brett Gardner in the roof of the dugout.
Yeah, what was that? What was he doing?
I don't know, man.
Was he mad because he had made out prior?
Yeah.
Struck out, I guess, on the back haul.
Yeah, because I didn't see what had led up to it. I was like, what's he doing? What's the guy in the background doing?
And Boone has been suspended one game for that, Grant. We need more of that. We need more of that.
Yeah, he got suspended one game.
Yeah, one game.
For being an ass.
Clapping
so
in his
he
face.
Got ejected and then suspended?
Yeah, yep. He got suspended for the act.
That's ridiculous. If that video never comes out, he doesn't get suspended.
Well,
Steinmetz, real quick, you're leaving us. We got a minute left here. You're leaving us for a week.
I am. I am taking a trip with the family over to England for, I don't even know, Europe, I guess.
Must be nice.
Yeah, England is what, one country. We're going to be in a couple countries.
What is one thing you want to accomplish out there? What is one thing you have to do? Overseas.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Jeez. Oh, God. I just soak it in. That's, you know what? Soak it in with my family. That's the one thing I want to do. I also do want to walk around Edinburgh, Scotland. I hear that's pretty cool.
Very, very smooth. Matt Steinmetz is out next week. Garter Guru Johnson is out next week, but I think JD's hanging out with me. I got Rain Man with me.
And Jim Coles some more.
Jim Coles is going to be in the building. Coles is going to be fired up. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun this week. JD, thank you. Filling in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. JD will be back, of course, as we just mentioned, next week. I'll be back next week. Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson out all of next week. But we'll still have some fun shows and hold down the fort until those two get back. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the Giants and the A's. A's in Minnesota. Giants, of course, at home for three more against the New York Mets. Should be a lot of fun. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you on Monday. Up next is the Damon Bruce Show with Darren Smith, and that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.